Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
I want to talk to you this morning. We really step into our Christmas series today, and I want to talk to you on the subject. Our series is entitled Christmas List, and how many of you are at one point in your life you had a list for Christmas, you know, or your parents, what do you want for Christmas, and they would tell you to make a list or whatever, and you would have that list, and there's a lot on the list. Most of the things that we put on our list are material things, I realize that, but I think for some of us, even in this room this morning, there may be some here that you have some emotional things on your Christmas list. Man, I just pray for peace. I want peace, I want comfort, I want joy to be a part of my Christmas list, perhaps. And I don't know, it seems like Christmas is kind of like this great magnifier in so many ways in our lives, right? I mean, if you could throw up that picture, Jennifer, up on the screen of the different emojis, how many of you have experienced some of those faces so far this Christmas, right? And the season is, in many ways, magnifies our emotions. Things are going great. Man, Christmas just makes you want to whistle. I don't know if you're supposed to whistle anymore, but man, when I walk into stores and the doors open, I'm just like, I smell the pine, and it's just like I just want to start whistling or something. Or maybe you think about Christmas right now, and just it's emotions, it's stress, it's intense, and Christmas seems to intensify those things. If you've lost a loved one, the empty spot can seem even larger during this season. It doesn't matter how long that loved one has been gone. Our emotions just feel a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more magnified perhaps in the season. So maybe you didn't put your emotions on your Christmas list yet, but you're sitting here already this morning going, I experienced the top right one a few times already this week or whatever. You know, went to the parking lot and there my emoji appeared. But your prayer is, your desire on your list is, man, I really want some joy. I really want some peace. I really want some comfort. I really want to know some love. That's really what I want for Christmas. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to talk to you about your Christmas list. And I want to hone in on emotions this morning. We're going to talk about family and a little bit next week. But I want to talk to you about emotions this morning. How many have experienced a little bit of emotion already today? Some of you are like, I haven't woke up yet, so I'm not quite there. But I want to specifically talk to you about joy on this Christmas Sunday, pre-Christmas Sunday. Luke chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture, says this to us in verse 10, great joy is reserved for all people. Joy isn't available just to a select few. How many of you are glad about that? The Bible says this, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for, everyone say it, all people, even your neighbor, all people. And maybe you've experienced it, you've been ordering online, you're doing some shopping that way if you're all about that, and you've been ordering online and you hit the first page and you found that gift, you've been searching, but now you found it. And you're like, yes, they have it. And so you click the button, and it takes you to the next page, and there's a big red block that says back ordered, out of stock, whatever, and all of a sudden you're just like, your joy is gone. Christmas is over. Jesus says this, or Scripture tells us, Jesus has an unlimited supply of joy. Christians suffering persecution around the globe today, there's some portions of our world right now where persecution is so prevalent for them, such a part of their ordinary everyday. Yet you speak to them, you encounter them, you read stories about them. They have this depth of joy that is just like, man, that is incredible. I think about places that we've had opportunity to be on a missions trip or individuals that you come into contact with that poverty has gripped them. Poverty is a part of their life. It's a way of life every day. They don't go to a cabinet full of food like you and I go to. They go to an empty cabinet. Or they wake up to the gnawing of their stomach. But yet you interact with these believers and there's this joy within them. That is just like, I want that. And it's a joy not of this world. Joy is available to us today because Jesus was born. All people. Joy isn't just for a select few. It's for those who have it's not for those who memorized your life verse on your bulletin every week. It's for everyone. Joy crosses classes and borders. It covers colors and backgrounds because Jesus had made himself, he has made himself available to all people. Some may say, joy can't be available to me because I'm a person who cycles with depression. I don't know joy. I am related to one of the seven dwarfs on Snow White. Grumpy. It's not a part of my family tree. And Grouchy's next door. There's some dads in the house and you're like, man, I'm the dad on Christmas Story. I'm the guy when the furnace breaks or the tire needs changing. I speak in a tongue, but it's not of heaven. Right? Here's the truth. Joy is available to you today, and this joy is bigger than a condition, a situation, a frustration, an unfolding in your life. This joy is anchored and flows through Christ. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that emotional need that you and I have this Christmas season and looking to Christ to meet that need no matter what you're facing. And how do we check that box in our Christmas list that says emotional stability, specifically that of joy? So today's a really, really simple message. When we think of the topics of joy, and you've been at church any longer for any length of time, you know, okay, I know what he's going to do. So I'm going to take joy, and I'm going to just make this a simple acrostic. You've heard it before, but I want you not to turn me off, but I want you to walk with me because I think you know what I'm going to say. I don't need to really track. I can just start, you know, playing, making my changes on my NFL. What's that? Kayla, what do you do? What do you play? Fantasy football. If I see you, turn on your phone. No, I'm just kidding. So, Jesus first. You think about joy. J, Jesus first. To experience emotional peace, you have to know joy. And joy comes from God. True lasting joy comes from God. So what I want to do with you just real quick is just talk to you about a theology of joy. People oftentimes confuse joy with happiness, right? Happiness is based on happenstance. It's based on circumstances. It's based on what's happening to you. What makes you happy may not make me happy because happiness is based on the happenings that we're drawn to. Some of us in the room right now are going to be really, really, really happy tonight. While others of us in this room are going to be really bummed out tonight. The score will determine how happy you are. I was just like, what in the world, Levi? The audacity wearing a Chiefs hoodie for the announcement video. Something so trivial, so trite to keep us awake at night. I don't know about you. It's Christmas time, right? I get happy when I see the eggnog show up in the refrigerators at the grocery store. Anyone? Amen, anyone? Some of you are like, ugh. Man, I get happy when I feel that first coat of the season going down my throat as it coats my throat. I'm just like, man, that makes me happy. Some of you are like, oh. The other day I was going through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, grabbing something to eat, and I saw on the sign, peppermint shakes. I got happy. It's that season. I get happy going for a drive with my wife. I get happy completing a run or a workout. Glad that's over with. Happy. What makes me happy may not make you happy, but joy has nothing to do with what is happening in our life. Joy is about Jesus. Joy comes from God. He is the producer. He is the originator of joy. It is an attribute of who he is. When Paul writes to us in Galatians chapter 5 and he lists the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's an attribute of God, which happens to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? It's all coming. It's part of who God is. God's not sitting up on a throne this morning with his hands stretched out on a chair, peering out over the portholes of heaven with a scowl on his face. No, he's a God that is happy and or joyful. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may abound in hope. I like what Peter Scazzaro says in his book, The Emotional Healthy Leader. He says this: Jesus sends out 72 disciples, two by two. When they return, they are excited to report significant numerical impact that they had, that the demons were subject to them by his name. Jesus affirms their activity of the kingdom of kingdom building, but he also reminds them of something more important. Do you not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, he says in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. But he says this, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, he wants them to remember that their joy comes from their relationship with him, not from their achievements for him. The book of Job reminds us that joy was present at the beginning of creation. In Job chapter 38, God is responding to some of Job's questions. Job was a man who had suffered great loss, was frustrated by his conditions and by his friends. How many can ever relate to that? And the Lord kindly but directly reminds Job of perspective. Job 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. So in other words, God is saying, I'm going to ask the questions now, and you respond. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. You determined its measurements, surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? How many know you'd have that sinking feeling, right? Verse 6, on what were its basis sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? But then check this out, verse 7. When the morning star sang, the angels together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God is reminding Job, he created the world, he created the universe, he laid the foundation, he stretched out the laws of the universe to make it function appropriately. And what is happening in that moment is God is orchestrating his creation. All the angels of heaven are doing what? They're singing and they're shouting with joy. And I want to just remind you of something. When all of that is unfolding, part of what those angels are singing and shouting about is the fact that God thought of you and made humanity in his image, in his likeness. He created you. So on Dakota's birthday today, God's like, yes, I have a plan, and I'm going to put him in this fragment, in this moment in time, because I can use him. And he's important to me. Because joy comes from God, because It's greater than happenstance of or circumstances of life. I mean, our emotions can be stable because of who they're anchored to. My sister's here from Colorado. I'm going to use her for an illustration just to pick on her because that's what brothers do. But yesterday she was traveling from Denver. She lives in the Denver area, coming here, and she calls and she's like, "Hey, I just blew a tire." I'm like, "Where are you at?" "I don't know. I-70 out by Burlington somewhere." "Well, like, are you before Burlington, after Burlington?" "I don't know. I'll send you a map." And so she sent me where she was at. She was a little worked up, understandably. And she was like right in between exits in Burlington in the afternoon. So all the tire, how many know, when you live rural, things shut down. Right? I mean, you're not calling Discount Tires and say, "Come fix my tire." It was like everything had gone home. There was no one out there. And she sent me a pin of where she broke down. And I thought it was kind of funny because she broke down right in front, or about a half a mile to the south of where she was a prison, an abandoned prison. There was no prisoner. So I just shot her a text and I said, "Too bad the prison closed. You could have asked one of the inmates to help you." But, I mean, things brothers say, right? I mean, pray for me. But anyway, I don't know why I told that story. But because joy is greater than happenstance or circumstances. When you're anchored in joy, it doesn't mean that when bad things happen or when a crisis hits your life or you do blow a tire and it's just not convenient, it doesn't mean that you never have a bad moment. But it's just something that you're anchored in something that, you know what, this moment's not going to determine my outcome nor my response. That is why Scripture says to us in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, because you're anchored to Christ, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God isn't about getting the perfect gift. It's about finding yourself wrapped up in Him. And that means Jesus. That means you can have joy because of Jesus. So you're going to be going on a shopping excursion, perhaps, and you can have you can have joy. Your Uncle Roy may be the obnoxious family member. He's going to be coming over for Christmas with the family gathering together, but you can have joy in spite of Roy being there. Amen? Your mom and dad may get you the wrong size of clothes again, but you can have joy because your joy isn't found in stuff or situations, it's found in Jesus. Now, Peter gives us some perspective real quick. So let me give you some context from 1 Peter. The church is suffering persecution as Peter writes his epistle, 1 and 2 Peter. They're feeling the pinch of living in the now. How many ever felt the pinch of living in the now? And possessing the hope of salvation that is to come in their future. And it isn't about rejoicing over the circumstances of life. It's not like, hey, I'm not telling you this morning, hey, you know, the doctor calls you and says, hey, it's time for another surgery. And you're just like, yes. Or you know, the boss calls you in, hey, here's your pink slip, and you're not going, it's not, hey, yes, I got laid off again, woo! Or doing a victory dance because you got in another fight with your kid. No, Peter is admonishing Jesus' followers that it is about rejoicing during difficulties, and how do you do that? You do it by centering your heart and your mind on Christ. Check it out, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him, or do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. I like how the New Living, New International Version puts it. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's the joy that I want. This joy so deep, so wonderful, that we cannot even express it. words fail us. Peter had seen some incredible, glorious moments, had he not? I mean, you think Mount of Transfiguration, up on the mountain with Jesus, God shows up. Some of the heroes of the Old Testament faith, Moses, Elijah, show up. I mean, that would have been like a pretty incredible moment, right? That's making your journal. That's something you're going to go talk about at coffee later that afternoon. But Peter doesn't mention that account as being an example of this joy, this inexpressible and glorious joy. It could have been, but when you and I believe in Jesus and what he did for us and in us, may this glorious joy fill your life. May it cause you to shift your focus in a moment where despair or grief or frustration or anger is just knocking at your door. May that joy just grip you and inexpressibly change your focus and change your hope, that your hope is greater than a moment. True joy comes from the author of joy and from the giver of joy. And because of Jesus, your Christmas list can be fulfilled. Look, Romans chapter 15, verse 13 again. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. What does God fill you with? Joy. When does he fill you with joy? As you trust in him. Trust in Jesus for your emotional well-being and to fill your heart with this joy unspeakable and full of glory. Some here, some watching online, you need to trust Jesus for the first time today. Maybe there was a moment in your life where, yeah, you said I did, but then I look at the context of my life, and man, I really wasn't trusting him fully. You've searched for joy in the wrong places, and today salvation has come to you. For the Christian, this is a call to be all in on Jesus. The joy doesn't come by splitting time between the world and Jesus. That's not going to bring you this joy. James says this in James 1:8. James would say that when we do that we're unstable. And for some, that means trusting God and stepping out in obedience. And one way that you can mark that step is that in 2 weeks from today, we'll be having the opportunity to baptize people. If you've never been baptized, or maybe you walked away from God and you've come back and you're like, man, I need to drive that marker. I need to make that proclamation and that dedication. I'm going to be baptized. Just let us know on your connection card and we'll get in touch with you. For others, it is, I'm going to see what God does and wants to do in my life, and so I'm going to step boldly into the new year as we step into a time of fasting and prayer from January 9th through to the 29th. Man, I'm going to step into it like I've never stepped in before. We're going to open up the church early in the morning. We're going to open it up every day, every morning, and every evening through that period. And some of you are like, man, I'm lucky to get out of bed. Now you're asking me to come to church? Hey, you're not going to make it every morning. I fully get that. But man, to step in a way that you've never stepped before will take you to a place where you've never been with Jesus. And it's so worth it. So, Jesus first. O would be others second. Some of you are like, yes, I got it right. Do you want the ingredient to have a joyless life? Here it is. Okay, you can find this ingredient was before Betty Crocker made her cookbook, man. It goes farther back than that cookbook. How do you have a joyless life? Make life all about you. Live like you are the center of the universe. Wake up each day and just think about you. Only do what makes you happy. Just use others for your own benefit. Don't help people. Don't think of others. Just make it all about you. And if I could be so kind, enjoy the journey by yourself. When we do that, because that's what happens, that is a recipe for a no joy life. And when it becomes about me, myself, and I, those three amigos are miserable company. How many have ever figured that out? That's a lonely ride. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, look at it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. That each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If we just live for ourselves, our own ambitions, joy will leak from our lives. God didn't create us to live a selfish life. God didn't design you to be self-centered. Our fallen nature, our broken nature, obviously magnifies that you know, the first words out of a baby's mouth. If it's not mama or daddy, it's mine. Right? A lot of people try to live, it's all about me, and they short-circuit themselves. You've heard me say this principle over and over again, but a principle to live by is this, that when you give life away, when you give life away, you will receive more life. When you serve others, you find yourself more fulfilled. One of the joys of serving and investing in people is just that reality, that it becomes richer, right? So you're like, well, how do I do that? Well, grab your rake and go help your neighbor. And in helping your neighbor rake his leaves, it helps you. Because his leaves don't come to your yard anymore, whatever, right? Give up that prime parking space at the mall that you've been trolling for. And it opens up, and all of a sudden a car comes around the corner. What would happen if you got out of your car and just said, here you go. I was guarding it just for you. Try to smile, right? And help somebody in that way. Or what if you paid it forward at Scooters or wherever? Going through the drive-thru lane, you know what? You're paying for yours, but I also want to pay for the next order, and you just haven't seen the vehicle before, and they say, okay, well, here's what it is, and they look at you, and they're like, man, did you know that was a 15-passenger van full of homeschool kids? And then just say, hey, I'm going to pay this forward, and then just drop an invite card to LifePoint Church. Within that, you can pick those up at the Welcome Center or whatever. But one of the things we're doing, just a quick like FYI, you've maybe seen it already on social media, but starting today, we're like, how can we kind of engage our community in a way and just be a blessing to businesses, but also be a blessing to people in our community? So last year, saw this idea, and I was like, man, I'm gonna steal that. And so we're stealing this idea called the 12 Days of Christmas. And so we went around to businesses in Valley Center and purchased $25 gift cards from a bunch of different businesses. And put that deal up on the screen, the picture of the water tower. did you not? Okay. Anyway. It'll show up, or go to the LifePoint Facebook page, and it's there too. We probably didn't swap out swapped out the PowerPoint, but anyway, awesome. Aren't they awesome back there? Yeah. They do. They're so faithful. So we're doing this 12 Days of Christmas thing. So every day, it's all interactive through social media. And so if you want to play, just go to our find it on our church's Facebook page, or on, I don't know, I can't even think of all the social media platforms, Instagram, all that stuff, but and just share, interact with it, pass it on, and to get the word out. We're just going to have some fun with it, and then in the process of bless business owners in our town, and just interact with them. But think about this for a second. Jesus Christ, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of 10,000s, the bright and morning star, the Alpha and Omega, Jesus, didn't come to be served, but to serve. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to earth to give his life away, to serve people. Serving is part of investing in generations to influence or to impact community. And we've done this in a number of different ways, you guys, and it all happens because of generosity. It's kind of, you know, serving is kind of like, thinking of others is kind of like the secret sauce, right? I mean, Chick-fil-A, any of you Chick-fil-A fans? How many just like Chick-fil-A sauce is like the best, right? I mean, you're putting that, I even put it on my peppermint shake. It's so good. I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you were listening. I mean, it's like so awesome, man. You know, it's like, give me another sauce. I need another sauce. Freddy sauce, that's good. Red hot sauce. Oh, man, I love that. Sriracha. You know, that's good. Apple butter. Who needs some apple butter on your biscuits, right? And Jesus and others, it's the secret sauce. It makes life better. So go and serve. Jesus preached this first message, known as the Sermon on the Mount, right? He gives the Beatitudes. Beatitudes simply means this, happy many times over. Happy many times over will you be if you do these things, right? And he ends the Beatitudes talking about responding to persecution. Very interesting. Later in chapter 5, he tells us not to retaliate. He says, serve. So countercultural. Go beyond the normal. Be willing to do the hard things. So see what brings joy and purpose to Christmas, to your Christmas list is Jesus and others. And if you want to do it this way, the why is yourself, right? So often people flip the script and they say self, others, and Jesus. But joy comes from Jesus, others, and you. If you flip the script, you get a word called yo-j. Yourself, others, and Jesus. And in my weird mind, I'm thinking, yo-j sounds kind of cool, right? It has some swag or some pop to it, yo-j. I mean, Jessica could like do some refit class with yo-j beaten in the background. I think of Mike Stevens rolling up in his big Dodge Dually pickup, pumping some yo-j. But here's the problem with yo-j. Yo-j can't help you in the midst of the trials of life. Yo-j won't help you when life is squeezing you down. Yo-j isn't wise enough to filter all the deception going on and that has gone on through generations. Yo-j won't get you through the storm. The worship team would come. Yo-j won't get you through it, but joy will get you through it. Joy comes from Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Jesus didn't come into the world to give you yo-j. He came to give joy to the world. He came to give joy to your world. You look at the Christmas story found in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 2, and there's a lot of emotion laid up within those chapters regarding the coming of Jesus. There's joy, there's confusion, there's anger as Herod is flying off the handle. There's mystery, there's hope, there's peace. And my goal today is simply to point you to Jesus. Don't let Jesus get lost in the list. Don't miss opportunities to bring hope to others. Rest yourself in Jesus. For some in the room, for some watching online, it may, your first step will be, man, I need salvation. I need to come to, I need to receive all that Jesus has for me. And part of that is this joy that is unspeakable and full of glory that he has for you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Jennifer, if you would find that slide and just throw it back up on the screen, of Romans 15, verse 13. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture one more time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope. There's no period. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The other night we were laughing about something as the three of us were just hanging out in the living room, and I just came up with a word. It was the like meter. How's your like meter doing? So we had, I won't give you the context of the conversation, but let me just kind of bring it to this. How's your joy meter this morning? Have you lost sight of it? Have you lost sight of this inexpressible and glorious joy? Has inexpressible and glorious joy gripped your heart, your mind, your spirit this Christmas season? Because that's what God wants for you. And it's just not you and I trying to conjure it up and to work it up. It's something that He's offering us. And I love the end of verse 13 there. Who is it by? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, is from or attributes of God, very God, the Holy Spirit, saying, here, I want to produce these things in you. But also, the Holy Spirit is at work in our life through the empowerment of the Spirit. Man, church, aren't you glad you don't have to do this thing on your own? Aren't you glad it's not you trying to conjure something up and work something up in your own power? You say, you know, if I grip my teeth hard enough, that joy meter's going to work its way up, and you know, I'm going to get there. And I'm like, but there's a work of the Spirit that He wants to do in all of our lives and continue to do in all of our lives, so that it doesn't matter what happens around our lives, and sorrow will come and brokenness will manifest itself because we live in a broken world, right? I mean, it's just part of it. But in the midst of that brokenness, there's this inexpressible joy that is planted within you, that you can look at sorrow, you can look at pain, you can look at despair, you can look at confusion, and within you there is this work of the Spirit and this fruit of the Spirit that's manifesting itself in you, that you can look at it, and not that you dismiss it, but you can step into it because you have this inexpressible, glorious joy that brings a perspective, that you know the picture that you're looking at isn't the final one. God is doing something, and you just may be seeing the backside of the tapestry, but when He flips it, you're going to be going, oh, man, that is awesome. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, I know there's a bunch of people in this room watching online tonight, that all of us have come from different experiences this week where we've encountered different things and grappling with different emotions. And God, I pray for this inexpressible joy that 1 Peter talks to us about in chapter 1, verse 8. God, that joy would just stir us and fill us and grip us. And God, that there would just be this desire Lord, to live in the midst of this world that we find ourselves in right now and not be sidetracked, not to be dissuaded, not to be disappointed, not to be distracted, Father God, with all the glitz, the glamour, and the disappointment and the suffering. Not to minimize any of that, God. But Lord, to be anchored so deep in this inexpressible and glorious joy that there's always this hope stirring in our heart. There's this hope renewing our mind. It's this hope that's causing us to lock vision on something greater than us and greater than this world. And it's on you, Jesus. This morning, if you're here in this place and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, which He came so that you can be forgiven of those sins, and you're like, man, Steve, I want joy, and I need to experience, and I want to encounter this Jesus that you've been talking about this morning, and you're here this morning, and you've never made that step. You've been living for yourself. And today you're going, man, I want to live for Jesus. It's a costly decision, but it's a decision that will alter your life and your destiny. And you're here and you say, Steve, would you pray for me real quick? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand all across this place? Anyone at all? I just want to pause and give an opportunity. God, this is a holy moment. Search our hearts. God, that we would be reconciled with you. God, that we would know the joy of our salvation. God, if anyone watching online or in this place hasn't come to that point of decision yet, Holy Spirit, we just pray that their hearts would just begin to turn and yield to you. Even in these closing moments of our service, but even later on in the day or in the midnight hour, whenever, God, but they wouldn't miss the opportunity or put off the opportunity to come to you, that they would take hold of this great gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, for the rest of us, we look at our life and maybe our joy meter's running a little bit low. Maybe we've lost sight of this inexpressible and glorious joy. And Lord, we just want to be filled up. We want the fruit of your spirit, the joy of your spirit, just to take up greater space in our life. Something deeper than emotion, God, a work of your spirit. Beyond happenstance, beyond situations, God, something greater than this world and this life. And God, it produces a confidence within us. If you're here this morning and you're like, man, I just want my joy meter. If there is such a thing. I just want my joy meter to go up. I want to turn my eyes on Jesus and get lost in His glory and His grace and His salvation that He's offered me and be in awe and wonder of it. God, you know our hearts. And then finally, if you ponder those words of Paul, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and you're like, man, I just need the Holy Spirit to continue to work deep in my life, to fill me, to empower me. We talked about that last week. But I need Him more today than I did last Sunday. Holy Spirit, fill my life. Give me your perspective. One last time, Jennifer, if you would put Romans 15, 13 up there. One last time. And if this is your prayer, as you look at that passage of Scripture, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your prayer be, Holy Spirit, flow and have your way in my life. Church, would you stand with me?
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.